Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, and we are here for our blessings from Christ on the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and I'm so glad to be with you. I feel so blessed. Sometimes the hardships in life cause us to feel so blessed when we get on the other side of them. And I'm beginning to feel that we are, in fact, on the other side of them for the first time in, well, since the infamous August 25th when Harvey came to town. I'm going to take a call and just warm up the audience. I see Stormy, you're on the line.
Yes, Glenda. I've been thinking this week a lot about when I recorded you on your angel lecture, and just remembering that time that you spoke about the angels.
Oh, my goodness. You know, recollections can be so lovely at times, can't they?
And I have all of my recollections.
Oh, I know you do, Stormy, and thank you so much for sharing that and bringing that back to mind. I had so many wonderful years of really, well, I would say specializing in communications with the angels, because I was just getting my sea legs, you might say, on getting strong enough to be in a public arena with my conversations with Yeshua and ministry. As you all know, he came to me in 91 under very private circumstances to paint the painting. And within those very personal and private circumstances, I painted him and we talked. And that was the beginning of the rest of my life. But it took me quite a while to get used to being with others in the process of having these illuminated moments. And they truly were. And it's so sweet when I think back on it, how the various and many angels came to me and would just say, I'll talk to you. Or people would say, will you paint my angel? And of course, in the process of painting their angel, I would have an opportunity to talk with them about what I heard, and we built a bridge. I think it's like that with everything. Whether it's having new babies in the house, like Susan was mentioning, or having the holidays upon us, or a new job, or starting on a new career, we usually tiptoe into the waters because we have to get used to the dialogue. We have to get used to the fact of communication so that we can do it artfully and so that we're sure of exactly what we're saying and what we're hearing. You know, so often we could be face-to-face with someone, audibly talking to them, and hear something totally different than what they're saying. And we don't even realize it until an hour later or days later when we think, did they really say that? Or we're discussing our discussion, and they'll say, did you actually hear what I told you? No, I thought you said this. And he said, no, I said that. It's such an amazing thing how we talk and we don't listen. Or how we think we're saying something, and to the other person, it comes out sounding like a completely different thing. So this is why we like to have discussions on our Christ blessing, because I like to hear from you. I like to know how you're thinking, what you're thinking. I need an opportunity to really, really listen to you. Not just with my ears, but my heart. And I see that Elizabeth is on the call. I'm opening your line, Elizabeth.
Oh, hi, Glenda. I just wanted to ask for a blessing for my friend Margaret Avery, whose back has gone out. I know she's in a lot of pain this weekend, and I just ask for a blessing for her for healing, please.
Oh, good. Okay, Margaret Avery?
Yes, in New York.
Okay.
Thank you so much for all you do, always.
So welcome. And I don't do it. I just, you know, I just kick the ball. I like to say to some of my friends who are football or soccer fans that love is the power, God is the miracle, and I kick the ball.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for kicking the ball for us.
You are so welcome. You are so welcome, and it's my pleasure. If anyone else wants to come online, ask for a blessing, or tell us about a blessing you've received. That would be great. Tony, I see you're on. Hi.
Hi, Glenda. Nice to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you.
A couple things. We have a couple of dear friends. We've put them in the blessing for the last 8-10 months. They've been dealing with late-stage cancer. It's our friends Tiger and Laura. And so she's been doing actually very well overall. She's had some really miraculous experiences with her healing. It was really cool. Right at Easter, she had a really huge breakthrough. But she's still dealing with it. So I'm thinking, you know, more prayers, more blessings would be very valuable for them. Also, I read a book recently, which I'm really picky about the books that I read, but I read one called Proof of Heaven that came out a number of years ago by a neuroscientist who had a near-death experience. And he was a total hard-boiled scientist with no openness to consciousness or spirit.
Don't you love it?
And it's such a transfer. And you know what? It's so beautiful because the details he shares of his experience in heaven, which in earth time lasted 7 days, but in his experience lasted years, he recounts specific beautiful details that are completely synchronous and complementary to everything Yeshua mentioned about details of heaven and our experience and our relationship with spirit and with God. So
oh,
it's a beautiful
great
book. Yeah, I want to just mention that. But, and again, thank you. It's always nice to be with you and with the community.
Oh, thank you too, Tony. It's always nice to be with you. And with the greatest compassion, I offer whatever a person is ready and destined to receive from God. It is my prayer always that we approach our immortality with the greatest eagerness and love and compassion and understanding. It's inevitable that once we incarnate in a physical body, there will be an end of cycle to that incarnation. But we came here to serve and to love and to learn. And we hope that our days upon earth will be a blessing not only to ourselves but to others. And we hope that the days before our passing can perhaps be the greatest days of learning for us. Even though we all will pass, how lovely it is to think that we can be at peace, that we can learn, and it can be at a time that fits within our destiny timeline, that we can make resolution with others, that it not be a sudden experience or one that rips us from our involvements in life, from those we love so dearly, and that it can be as free of pain as possible. So always we ask for the blessings of life. We ask for the blessings of love and the blessings of destiny fulfillment with its greatest revelations in all ways, in all times, for all that it can bring. And I see Dottie, you're on. Hello.
Hi, Glenda and everybody. It's Dottie Wheeler calling from Sedona, and I'll be very brief as I brought this up about 3 weeks ago. We're coming up on the end of the month, and I need to find a place to live. I'm having a hard time believing that my roommate and I are going to be out of that place in about 4 or 5 days, but I need a minor miracle at this point of a new roommate situation. I'm looking to rent a room in someone's home. So I thank everybody for thinking good thoughts my direction on this subject.
Oh, you are welcome, and we put those thoughts there for you for the very best and optimal discovery of your life.
Thank you.
Every path is a step toward discovery, and let it be a wonderful discovery that we are ready to receive and apply for ourselves and for others. And even when what we discover is a painful experience, let us discover our way to rise above it, our way to see a greater reason in why it happened, and how it happened, and how it can serve a greater good. So I don't see anyone else in the queue right now. Probably someone will come on and want to ask for a blessing. We've got lots of people on the call today, and I get to talk for a change. And, you know, I've always got something to say. Maybe it's a little bit repeat of other things I've said, because there's only one basic message, and that is we're here to love. Love is the story. It's the power. It's the miracle. And love comes in so many forms. Let's not look at a form, one form, as being preferable over another. There's a very, very sweet little experience I have. Every time I go to the north end of town, actually, I live on the south end of town, which is the old town, the harbor town, that which is, you know, the old shops and the older homes, most of them built in the pre-1960s, going back to the turn of the century. And on the north end of town, we have Walgreens and Walmart and Lowe's and all the strip shopping centers and the new stuff, you know. But in order to get to the north end of town without having to go through all the traffic lights, I take a country road. And this country road is just very pastoral and beautiful and blissful. And my favorite place along the road is a large pasture with two beautiful horses and one little white pig. That little pig is, it's not a miniature pig. It's smaller than you would see at the county fair. So I'm not exactly sure what kind of pig it is. Maybe it was raised as a pet, and then it was just too large to be kept around the house. But the pig and the two horses have adopted each other. It's a threesome. I never see that pig more than a foot away from one of the horses, sleeping, and a horse will be grazing right beside it. Or today, the little pig was between the front legs of one horse, licking the horse, knocking flies off of the horse. And then I've gone past at times when the horses will decide to play with the pig, One will come up and nuzzle the pig on the rear end, knocking it off its feet just a little bit. And the little pig will roll over and bounce back and come back at the horses. I mean, they play like six-year-old buddies, and they're never, ever more than 2 feet apart in all the times I've gone past. I have no idea where their owner put them during the storm, but they obviously survived it very well. And the love between those three characters, actually the horses are never more, the horses are a little further apart than the pig, but the horses are never more than, oh, I would say 12 feet apart, just enough to have grazing room. And the pig will choose one or the other, always being with one or the other. And what I see is that it doesn't matter at all that one's a pig and one's a horse. You know, it really doesn't. We think when we have chosen pets, which usually are dogs or cats, sometimes we have a bird. Sometimes I grew up with horses and they were my best friends. So I have to include horses in that. And I have some good friends who had little burros and donkeys. And my uncle had a favorite cow. She adored my uncle. He was a rancher. He owned 2 5,000 acre ranches. But this cow was always coming up to his truck, and he would always have treats for her. They adored each other. And I find that, you know, it's love that makes the bond, not the species similarity. You could find two horses that don't care about each other at all. And then a horse and a person that have the greatest bond in the world. You could find, you know, I just adopted a little dog. He came here after the storm, had obviously broken away from his owner because he was on a broken leash and was really desperate to have some food. And I fed him and put an ad in the newspaper hoping his owner would come, but nobody ever came for him. So he became our dog. And Larry, my husband, just adores dogs. He's more of a dog person than a cat person. He just adores dogs, and he named him, and he tried to make close friends with this dog, and this dog doesn't want anything to do with Larry. This dog just cries for me. He wants to be with me. He will do anything to be with me. He begs for me to come and sit with him. I can't have him in the house because he's not housebroken, and he eats all the cat's foods, and he intimidates the cats. So there's no way he can be in the house, and there's only so much time during the day I can go and sit with him. But this little dog absolutely adores me, and, of course, I just adore him. What makes the difference? Love. It's just love. Love has a mind of its own. It does. It just has a mind of its own. We could be in a group of friends and like them all, and out of all these friends, there'll be one in particular we just love, and that person just loves us. And who can explain it? It's not because they're smarter or better looking, or more accomplished. It's just the miracle of love. There are some things we do that we love, and those things we do love us. And how can you explain it? You can't. The mystery of the universe is love. Yeshua explains that so beautifully in the 14th chapter of Love Without End, and I wish you would just go read for yourself. The mystery of love is love chooses you. And when love chooses you, it transforms everything. And that is the miracle. Even in treating an illness, I want to say to you, yes, the blessings will have a transformative effect on you because they're coming from God, your Father, who loves you always, from Yeshua, who loves you always, from the Holy Spirit, who not only loves you always, but draws to you those who will love you. But in life, take notice of those things you love and those who love you, the foods you love, the foods that love you. You could be treated by the most famous doctor in the world for treating a particular illness, but that doctor's not going to do it for you. And you could find the most unknown, unlikely doctor that's not famous, is maybe just getting started, and yet you have a connection. That doctor loves you, and love drew you to that doctor, and a miracle happens. Take note always of where love is calling you. In everything, regardless of the external form, regardless of the advice that you get from others. And you could get a lot of really, really good advice from a logical perspective that just doesn't work in terms of love. And then something that no one ever would believe or could believe will happen because of love. It's how the universe grows. Let's face it. If what works now is the only thing that ever would work, our universe would become stagnant. Even the top scientists have to admit that. It's the unpredictable that caused change and growth in our universe. Now, when we face the unpredictable, that unpredictable could come in basically three forms. It could be unpredictable bad, unpredictable neutral, or unpredictable good. This is what I want you to be attuned to. Try something new every day that you're drawn to out of positive interest, affection, positive inclinations, love, desire. And if something in your life has become a stagnant thing for which there are no results, what are you going to expect next? A sudden breakthrough? More than likely not, unless you take a chance. You have to break the equilibrium. That's up to you. You have to break the equilibrium. You've got to take a chance on something else. And that's where prayer comes in awfully handy. That's where a really good friend is helpful. Not necessarily your lifelong best friend who is so now vested in having you for a best friend that they're only going to give you guarded advice. It may have to be somebody new that you've attracted to you because there's just something about that person. There's something about that message, something about that book, something about the information that is just wonderful, and you're drawn to it. Take a chance. Sometimes we just have to take that special chance and be guided. Be guided by prayer. Be guided by your heart. and be guided by those that you feel have your best interest right now. Not necessarily your lifelong best interest, because there are patterns involved in that. And when things are not working, the last thing you want to do is repeat an old pattern. Okay? That's just good advice that I have received from many wise people. The universe is full of patterns because they give us predictability and stability. But if we didn't change, life would become stagnant. And so, in order to implement growth, our Creator, our Father, the Holy Spirit, has provided a large percentage of the unpredictable factor. I don't know what that percentage might be. I think it fluctuates also. I think even the percentage of unpredictability fluctuates. I know that when Harvey was in town, the unpredictable was greater than the predictable. But then I know there have been other times when I was just so bored I couldn't stand it. I would have just prayed for any kind of change. So I think even that scale fluctuates. But look for some positive change. Even if it's not the positive change you want, look for any positive change. Any. Because it helps to break the stagnant equilibrium. It may be the next step to get you toward what you really do want and what you really are looking for. So, what we want to focus on today is finding love wherever it is. Like the horses would say, it doesn't have to be another horse. It could be a pig. It could be in the most unlikely of places. It could come in a prayer. It could come in a walk through nature. It could come because you just don't have the answer and you've decided, I'm going to take a nap. This just isn't working. Sometimes love means bearing up with something that's very hard. I've got some challenges like that in my life right now. And I could offload those very easily. It would be the easiest thing in the world for me to offload some of the challenges that are bearing down on me. And I would be free of them. And it would allow me to get back to some other things that I love that would definitely be a little more creative and a little more positive. And so I look at this. Am I wanting to offload these things I love that are hard just to be with something I love that's easy? Well, you see, that's not the question. Easy and hard is not the question. That's not what I'm presenting to you. That's what Yeshua had to face the day before his arrest, and the many days before his arrest, when he was tempted to go easy. He could have loved the world any way he chose to love the world. He could have gotten away from the hard way so easy. And no matter what he did, it would have been love, because he simply is the love of God incarnate. It would have been love either way. But which direction is the most character building? Which direction proves who we are? Proves the love we deserve to receive? Proves the strength and improves the courage that God has given us to live this life. Sometimes just staying with the hard way is the best. And that's one of the things I'm going to ask for myself in this blessing, is an answer. Because we are so close to Christmas. And there's so many creative things I could do. But there are some very hard challenges that I also face. And all of them I will do with love, no matter what. And that decision has already been made. We just don't sometimes know which direction is the best. Usually, the hard way is the best, but not always. Not always, because sometimes we bear the hardship burden in order to lighten the load for someone else who's not carrying their share of the burden. And we need to step aside. Sometimes we can be an enabler by preventing another person from facing up to their courage. So taking the hard way is not always the right way. You see, there are lots of decisions we have to make, even in the name of love. And that's when we turn to prayer. That's what Yeshua did. For hours before his arrest, he simply prayed. He told the apostles to leave him alone. Leave him alone. I have to be alone. I have to be with my Father. Only in prayer could he really make that decision. And he chose the hard way. But it turned out to be the best way. And when the hard way is the best way, in the end, it's also the easiest way. Because it's transcendent. It's transformative. We get to be a new person. We get to be more than we ever thought we could be. And so, that's what we have to look for when we pray for a miracle. Not to always pray for a miracle to have a way out, a way of escape. I think that's a mistake we make so often when we pray. We think of a miracle as our get out of jail free card. And that's not what a miracle is. A miracle is making the right decision on behalf of love. Then transformations of a powerful, powerful nature happen. And I ask that prayer on behalf of all of us right now. So let's be ready to receive the blessing. I will pray to Yeshua for you, for me, for all of us, for everyone in our human family and our family of life in all its beautiful forms on this beautiful earth. Dear Yeshua, we thank you for teaching us about love in all of its ways. That love is not always easy, but it's always the way. Love is sometimes challenging, but it's always transformative. Love is sometimes hard, but it always leads us to God. It always takes us home. For love is who we are. Love is who we will always be. Love is our immortality. And love is the answer. It's the answer we're all looking for. We thank you for showing us that love can come in so many ways. It can be holding a child. It could be dying on the cross. We all end our life. But help us so much, we ask, to live our life in its fullest and to reap the rewards of wisdom and learning, that we may leave a lasting legacy to this earth and live eternally with you and with our Father in heaven and the Holy Spirit forevermore. I would ask that the blessing givers join me now, and we offer a blessing to you all. Amen. Your blessing has been given. Now go and rest for at least 7 minutes. Just be with God to receive and be filled with His love. Bye-bye for now. And I wish you a wonderful week, a lovely week, and many blessings.